let's talk to Brian to McFadden, Mike. We do it each and every Friday. We look forward to these visits because he's always dropping knowledge. By the way, this hour is brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. B-Mac, I got to start right here Sunday night. It is the primetime premier game. I know the Bengals get the Commanders on Monday night. It just doesn't have the same feel as this particular game does. And I want to get your thoughts on what you feel like the Falcons have to do to be victorious against the Chiefs. They are the Chiefs, despite, you know, the fact that they have had some struggles here in weeks one and two.
Yeah, you're right. Especially last week against Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati had them on the brinks. And, of course, you know, it was a P.I. that was called. And, oh, by the way, that was the right call. I know there are a lot of fans that felt like
it was
wrong call. But speaking as a former defender, he got there early. The Chiefs benefited from that. And they kick the game-winning field goal. So for Atlanta, what they need to do is offensively, let's start with the offense first, right? That last game-winning drive against Philly is where the offense needs to start. They need to take that same momentum, that same sense of urgency that they displayed against Philadelphia, Kirk Cousins, the entire offense. That is what they need to showcase from start to finish Sunday night. Because that offense that we saw in that game-winning drive, they were more polished. They established a rhythm. Everyone was winning their one-on-one matchups, and that led to a game-winning touchdown, right, to Drake May. Defensively, I just need the defense to keep doing what they've been doing. That defense for Atlanta in 2 weeks of play, when you look at the entire NFL, they haven't really been talked about as being a very, very stout, firm group. But when you watch them play, they tackle well. The defensive linemen, the linebackers, they play with the right gap integrity. And if you allow the ball to be in open space and passing windows, they have guys that can catch the football a la Jesse Bates, who's a turnover machine waiting. So those are the things that need to happen for them to be successful, because when you think about Kansas City, the first thing that can come to mind is, oh, my goodness, it's the Chiefs. Yeah, but they're still human. Right, they're still vulnerable in some spots. And don't forget, they will be without Isaiah Pacheco, who is like their spark plug for their entire offense. So, you know, not having him in the lineup, that's a big, big opportunity for Atlanta defensively to exploit the inability to run the football as well as they've done when they have number 10 in the lineup.
It is two-time Super Bowl winner Bryant McFadden with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline.
Two-time.
Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Yeah. Hey, man, we didn't run right at T.J. Watt. Chris Jones is – I mean, they got a really good defense and pass rush, but do you feel that there's things we'll have to modify with our approach to handle what they do, or you feel that Cousins has proven he's as close to 100% as he's going to be?
You know what? The running game has to be a huge factor for Atlanta offensively, and I love what I saw from Atlanta against Philly. They ran the football, but the success was more about the style of running that we saw Sunday night compared to what we did not see week one against Philly. So let me break it down. Against Pittsburgh week one. Let me break it down. Pittsburgh, they ran the football, but it was more shotgun style running, out of the pistol running, right? But when you run the football and you're under center, that gives the running back and downhill momentum boost that he has to attack whatever hole he's attacking with momentum, right? As a former defender, when I played defense, we love when teams try to run the football against us in a shotgun formation, because that runner, whoever he is, he doesn't get any momentum. Usually he has to start from being in a lateral position to try to go north or south. We love that. So now when you look at when they ran the football effectively, a lot of the positive runs came from Kirk Cousins being under center. That's what you have to do. Now, against the Chiefs, you talked about that outlier they have on the defensive line in Chris Jones, Stone Cold Jones. The thing I love about what they do with him, that he lines up anywhere he wants to on the football field on the defensive front, right? T.J. Watt is more of an edge rusher. Chris Jones can be an interior guy. He can be over the three. He can be at the five. He can be an edge rusher. He goes where he believes he has the best matchup, right? So now, offensively, for the offensive line, for Atlanta, Chris Lindstrom is one of the best that does what he does in the interior. Bergeron, he got to put his big boy pads on. Because if I'm Chris Jones and just seeing how he moves up and down the offensive line, that's where he's going to go. He's going to test Matthew out and see, can he exploit some matchups in his favor? And Matthew, Chris, and as a whole, they have to be in their bag against Chris Jones, because if you want to run the football, you got to find a way to get 95 blocks.
Got to. It is our man Brian McFadden joining us here as we talk about all things that are going to happen on Sunday night with the Falcons and the Chiefs. Let me ask you real quick. I know McDuffie, I think he's one of the best DBs. Mm-hmm. What about the other guys in that secondary?
Well, that's the thing. When you look at the other guys in the secondary for Kansas City, you know, they lost their best corner, outside corner, in L'Jarius Sneed to Tennessee. Trent McDuffie is a do-it-all. He's like their Swiss Army knife. You know, football have a five-tool player in football. He would be their five-tool player for their defense because he does so many things well. Now, when it comes to Jalen Watson, you know, he's a guy that's still trying to figure things out. You talk about Joshua Williams. These are guys that are talented athletically. They lack experience, right?
B, we can attack these guys. Yes.
And that's what I was going to say. If I'm Atlanta, don't play afraid. Right. Don't play afraid. One thing I would like to see from Atlanta at some point in time in this ballgame, guys, is utilize tempo. You know, right? And that tempo that they utilized against Philly, it worked really, really well during that game-winning drive, because you can tell that's the first time that we saw Kirk Cousins looking like he was in rhythm. So right. Me personally, when you talk about Trent McDuffie, he's their best DB. He's their best cover guy. But attack him. Attack him. Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams. Both Joshua and Jalen are long guys. They're tall. They're lengthy. But you still have to find a way to attack them. And what I would love to see as well, red zone offense needs to be better. It's something about Atlanta when the field shortens, the playbook seems to shorten. That's not good. Great offenses in the red zone, when they get into the red zone, the playbook expands. It seemed like Sunday night, the playbook shrank when the field shrank when they got into the red zone. You can't settle for field goals against Kansas City and think you're going to be lucky enough to beat them like you did against Philly.
I think, Brian, we're having a learning curve with Zach Robinson, our new OC. This is the first time he's been in that role. And I think, you know, we saw him kind of scrap what they did against Pittsburgh, maybe because they felt, hey, let Cousins go, and he will be able to do the footwork to get the running backs there, you know, where they need to put the ball. Speaking of Monday night, as a former DB, I know you always love talking about Dick LeBeau, one of the best ever to call defenses. Fangio's been around forever. Why do defenses go to that posture they went into, which seemed to give us everything we wanted, or that was just simply poor execution by Philly and the players themselves?
So it was poor execution, but this was also a lapse from the mental side with Philadelphia and Nick Sirianni. So when you go back and watch the last offensive possession for Philly, you know, and I know some people said that was the right call. You throw the football, Saquon got to make that catch, the game is over. But as a defender, we never want to see the ball in the air in that situation because there was no timeouts for Atlanta to use. So if you run the football, the clock is on your side. It's going to keep going. But if you put the football in the air, there's too many things that can happen that could help the opposing team out. So what happened was when Saquon dropped that ball, guys, you kick a field goal, the defense from Philly, their morale was shot. And their morale was shot because they were like, we shouldn't be in this position. It happens a lot. We be on the sideline, guys, and we're like, what the freak is our offense doing? Why would we do that? Run the ball. Well, what are we doing? And that's the thing that Nick Sirianni dropped the ball with. After that first long completion by Kirk Cousins, call a timeout, hit the troops together, bring them down to reality and say, you know what? Find a way to get us off the football field and get us in the locker room with a win. I go back to my rookie year. Playoff game, second round, Pittsburgh at Indy. Jerome Bettis, our offense, we're on the field to work up all the clock and get us out of town with a win. JB fumbles the ball. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. He fumbles the ball. We see Nick Harper pick the ball up, running it back. Big Ben was able to get him down. Before we went on the football field, Bill Cowher basically told us, listen, don't worry about what happened. You guys control what is going to happen from here on out. Get us home.
get us home, because we were shell-shocked. We were like, oh, shoot, here we go. And I'm a rookie. I'm like, oh, my goodness, we done screwed up. Peyton's about to find a way to win this ball game. That's what I was thinking. But when our head coach rallied the troops and got us together and gave us that speech that we needed, then we all had a woo-side moment. We came back down. You say, you know what, Coach Wright, let's get us home. So for as a coach, when you have these situational moments that you can't control, that happens in the fourth of a ball game, and you have timeouts at your disposal, use it. Get them back together. Unfortunately, he didn't use that final timeout, and all the momentum they had is squandered away. And you saw more generic, soft, easy defense to pick apart.
Yeah. Let's real quickly, I want to ask you just about some games. Mike has a couple. Philly at New Orleans. You talk about the Eagles and their confidence. Do they get beat up in New Orleans this weekend? Listen, New Orleans has a lot of confidence right now, and their offense looks legit.
No question. Philly, offensively, guys, let's keep it real. They're not the same when A.J. Brown's not in the lineup at all. Nope. He means a lot to their success. He means a lot to Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback with A.J. Brown. That's number one. Number two, can they stop the run? They didn't stop the run against Atlanta. Why would we believe they can stop the run against the Saints? That's playing with a lot of confidence. And you guys know that Superdome, Mercedes Superdome in New Orleans is going to be rocking. So I don't think they take another black eye. You know, my uncle used to tell me all the time, man, don't go out there and try to get in the yard fight and get that raccoon eye. You know what I mean? You can't have that raccoon eye when you get that black eye. Hey, I think Philly has another raccoon eye happening this weekend.
By the way, they rebranded it, Brian. It's now the Chico's Bail Bonds Superdome down there, by the way.
Why do they keep changing these names to all these stadiums all the time? I can't remember that.
No, I believe it's called, that mustysmell.com stadium. Anyway,
that's the right one.
All right, man, you got Caleb Williams going up against Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson looking like a rookie this year. He's kind of coming back a little bit. I mean, is it too much to expect him to just be the man? There's some growing pains, looks like an Indy.
No, you expect him to be the man. No, there's no time for growing pains. You know, Mike Tomlin used to tell us all the time, one of his famous Tomlinisms that I love to reference. No one cares about the labor pains. It's your job to deliver the baby, right? In the National Football League, they don't care about the labor pains. You got to deliver the baby. So for Anthony Richardson, when you get drafted as high as you were drafted, top five, the athleticism, the strong arm running the 4.3. No one cares about you figuring things out. You got to get it done. And he's not getting it done right now. And to your point, he's not seeing the field well, and he's not leading the offense like the ultimate point guard like they need him to lead the offense, right? And for Chicago, if you're Caleb Williams, if you're Matt Eberflus, this is a must-win. You have to win this ball game, and here's why. We just saw Malik Willis beat the coach.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, he didn't blow you away with his numbers, but he didn't do anything to hurt the team either. So if that can happen, hey, look, you got to find a way to get it done. Like I said, no one cares about your labor pains. You got to deliver the baby.
All right, real quick. They're both 2-0. I know we got to go. Chargers at Steelers. All of a sudden, it's an interesting game, B. I mean, like, we saw them. I know they're still very limited, it seems like, offensively. But if the Chargers go into Pittsburgh and handle them, man, all of a sudden, you got to start believing whatever the hell Harbaugh's preaching, they're buying in.
I mean, yeah, they are buying it, even if it's full price. They don't have to be on the clearance rack. They're still going to buy it because Coach Harbaugh has that mentality. But they're not going into Pittsburgh and beating Pittsburgh the way they've been beating people.
Okay, wait a minute. Are you too close to it?
You're too close to it.
I'm seeing it from a set of sober eyes. I don't drink. I'm always seeing things sober. That's how I'm seeing it. I'm close. You know I'm a Steeler. But I got to keep it real with you.
Okay.
The way the Chargers have been beating people, they've been playing great defense and benefiting off a very, very explosive running game. J.K. Dobbins is averaging almost 10 yards a carry.
Yes, you're telling me he's not going to do that this weekend?
No, you saw our defense in real life. We got some real goons.
Hey, Cousins was on one good leg. You know, you're chirping about a victory that's going to be looking pretty hollow in a few weeks, my man.
They're not going to go to Pittsburgh and say we're going to run goal line right, goal line left for four quarters and be successful. We put our big boy pads on. That's the type of ball game the Chargers in Pittsburgh where you got to bring out the old Brian Bosworth neck rolls and the pony high top cleats because it's going to be run left, run right, and you have to be tougher for longer in that matchup. That is not happening in the home opener in Pittsburgh. And if it does happen, hey, Coach Harbaugh, he's earning his stripes, but it's not going to happen. This is the type of ball game where it's going to be ugly, and I don't know if there's another team in the National Football League that can win ugly games like the Pittsburgh Steelers. And what I mean when I say ugly, the score can be 9-7, 6-3, like 5 or something like that. Pittsburgh love these ugly matchups. They don't like going to the prom with the prettiest girl. They don't mind getting the one who might not be as pretty. I don't want to say ugly, and making the best out of it. That's how Pittsburgh get things done in these type matchups. So to your question, Paul and Mike, when you guys talk to me next Friday, I'll sit here, be gloating, and say, I got you. I was dead on. They're not going to run the football for four quarters and sustain a level of success to win it. That's not happening.
I'll be texting you on Sunday. B, we got to run, man. Appreciate you as always, man. Take care. Enjoy the games. He is an NFL analyst for CBS. All things covered is the podcast. Brian McFadden. Appreciate you.